This Friday marks the 75th anniversary of VE Day. That's the official end of World War II in Europe. And commemorations in New Zealand and overseas have been cancelled due to the COVID-19 pandemic. But today, Sarah Johnston takes us back into the sound archives of Ngā Taonga Sound and Vision to listen to how this momentous event unfolded on the radio in 1945. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Jesse. Yeah, this was the big day. I mean, there was also VJ Day, Victory Over Japan, which officially marked the end of the war. That's in August. But the celebration in May really was just a chance for everybody to kind of celebrate that the end was in sight, even though it wasn't the complete end of the war. You know, the writing had been on the wall since the start of the month, really, that fighting in Europe was coming to an end after 6 long years. Berlin was surrounded by the Allies. Hitler had committed suicide on the 30th of April. And so people here were preparing for how this event would be marked when Germany finally capitulated. So the news came through on the 7th that Germany had signed a surrender document at Allied headquarters, which was in France at the time. But getting the news from the other side of the world, you know, down here, of course, happened via shortwave radio through broadcasters like the good old BBC. And their bulletins were picked up, recorded in Wellington by the New Zealand Broadcasting Service, and then they could be replayed on local radio. So our first cut is a BBC bulletin from the evening of the 7th of May 1945, and that would have been heard here on the morning of the 8th because of the time difference. Mm. And it is shortwave quality, so it is a bit hard to listen to, so it's just a wee short bit. But it begins with the BBC's famous interval signal. Now, an interval signal is a short piece of music or a sound that international broadcasters play in between broadcasts so that listeners who are tuning in know whose frequency they're on. And the BBC had this really famous piece of music called Lily Bolero. It's an old march. And I find this real crackly old bit of music really evocative because, to me, it just conjures up this image of New Zealand families all gathered around the radio, you know, twiddling the knob, Dad trying to find the frequency so they can hear the latest news of the war.
Greenwich Town.
This is London calling. Here is a broadcast of World News. It's read by Peter Watts. Tomorrow will be Victory in Europe Day, and the whole day will be regarded as a public holiday. By arrangement between the three great powers, an official announcement will be broadcast by Mr. Churchill at 3 tomorrow afternoon. That's 13 hours Greenwich Mean Time. The King will broadcast at 9 p.m., that is, at 19 hours Greenwich Mean Time. The following day, Wednesday, will also be a holiday. A report from an agency correspondent at General Eisenhower's headquarters said today that Germany surrendered unconditionally to Britain, the United States, and Russia early this morning at Reims, in the schoolhouse which is General Eisenhower's headquarters.
Oh, that's an incredible piece of audio, Sarah. First of all, it strikes you that he's talking about the King. That's how long ago it was. That was BBC News 75 years ago in 1945. So that was the news that gave New Zealanders an opportunity to celebrate, was it?
Well, the opportunity was there, but they weren't quite allowed to officially cut loose just yet because, bizarre as it seems, I mean, I imagine people hearing that news and just running out into the street and going nuts, but apparently the official word was that we had to wait because Winston Churchill, as we heard in the bulletin there, Winston Churchill and the Russian and American leaders wanted to coordinate and make an official announcement over there at 1 a.m., which would have been at 1 a.m. on the 9th in New Zealand. So we had to kind of cool our heels for a whole day, and apparently it's been described that the 8th of May 1945 in New Zealand was the definition of anticlimactic. You know, the whole country was waiting.
Yeah.
So, but people, you know, went out and they got ready and they put up flags and put the bunting across the street and got the streamers and confetti ready. And there are some reports in the newspaper that apparently in Dunedin, because it was university capping week down there already, that Dunedin kind of cut loose a wee bit already on the 8th.
Classic.
Students were prepared
Classic
to
Dunedin.
Wait.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we have a recording from Dunedin. We've got a whole series of recordings, actually, in the archive from Dunedin from this week. And they're not dated very clearly. So I'm not sure. I've made a little montage. That's the next thing we're going to hear. And I'm not sure if it's from the unofficial celebrations by the naughty students on the 8th, or maybe it was the official ones on the 9th. But we hear sirens and some church bells, which were rung at 7 in the morning. And then there's some singing in the octagon and Mayor of Dunedin, Donald Cameron.
Lassies spread in the war areas, and I think it's fitting we should remember them this morning. We hope they'll all be home soon, and we'll be meeting here to welcome them home. I want you to join with me in remembering them this morning in Europe, in England, in Italy, in the Pacific, and in every war area. Let's join in giving them three hearty cheers. Hip hip. Hip hip. Hip hip.
That's Mayor of Dunedin, Donald Cameron, leading a cheer for the troops. Nice one, Sarah.
So finally, the 9th of May, we were officially able to celebrate, and there was a lot more of that sort of thing that we just heard in Dunedin. There were parades and community singing, lots of hymns, patriotic songs, lots of songs from World War One, like, you know, It's a Long Way to Tipperary. There's lots of recordings of that sort of thing being sung. Mm. And this was all over New Zealand, not just in the main centres. So, you know, most little towns seem to be able to whip up a parade at short notice. And I've noticed there seems to have been an awful lot of public drinking going on too on VE Day. We've got a video that we've put up on the webpage today, which you can see some evidence of this. There's a lot of, you know, men in uniform and women dancing and carousing in the streets. And you can hear that too in the coverage provided by the radio stations who broadcast live from the festivities for those who weren't able to make it in person. Mm-hmm. So this next cut is announcer Jack Mabry of 3ZB in Christchurch.
Hello, 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 everyone. I can't imagine there's anyone in Christchurch left home this afternoon. Judging by the tremendous crowd here surrounding Cathedral Square, just a sea of faces as far as the eye can see. Never before, in my life anyway, have I seen such a tremendous crowd of people gathered here in Christchurch. But I can just paint a wonderful picture of the square here for you. Boys and girls of all ages and sizes, policemen are doing their best to keep the crowd back, but they just cannot handle it at all. It seems that the crowd have just taken possession here in the bottleneck of Cathedral Square. They're lined the streets as far as the eye can see. Tremendous crowds and a wonderful display of flags. The children especially are very predominant. Walking sticks, decorated bicycles, decorated hats, decorated... Even some of the Air Force boys are wearing red, white and blue bunting for skirts. And down below here is an Air Force boy having a quiet spot. Yes, he's even offered one to the policeman, but he has declined the offer. Good luck! The boy waves up and offers me one of what he's having, but at the moment we're too busy. And now I see approaching me a number of young fellows, obviously a little the worse for liquor, but they're having a lot of fun. They apparently have joined in the procession and carrying the flags of all nations. And one of the boys in khaki, wearing the shoulder flashes of the Middle East, is carrying a black and white little spaniel, and this spaniel is very, very keen to break loose. But no, he's hanging on like grim death. These boys are passing now. Some are carrying beer bottles, and obviously very, very happy indeed.
Great. That's Jack Mabry covering Christchurch's VE Day celebrations in Cathedral Square. He sounded like a nice character, Sarah.
He was a very well-known announcer. Yeah, he was one of the main guys on 3ZB, the commercial station in Christchurch at the time. And then, of course, when we weren't out celebrating ourselves, New Zealanders would have been at home, tuning in on the radio to hear how everyone at home, in inverted commas, capital H, which is how, you know, back then, that's how so many New Zealanders still referred to Britain, even if they'd never been there, even if, you know, their family had been in New Zealand for several generations. So we'll end today with another cut from the BBC. This one is a bit better quality, I'm happy to say. And this is great. This is a commentary from live from the streets of London, and it's huge crowds chanting, "We want Churchill," outside Whitehall.
Wonderful luck. At this moment, how wonderful, Mr. Churchill has come out onto the Ministry of Health balcony. And now Mr. Churchill stands on the balcony of the Ministry of Health. He's wearing his boiler suit, the famous boiler suit that he's made so wonderful. And he had the audacity, shall I say, to put on his head his famous black hat. He stands now in the floodlights, the band playing for He's a Jolly Good Fellow, and he's giving the victory sign for all his might from the flooded balcony. And now listen, the band is playing Land of Hope and Glory, and the crowd is singing. And this suddenly has become a very moving moment, for Mr. Churchill too is singing, and he is conducting the singing of this song.
National, a really special cut that Sarah Johnson from Ngātahunga Sound and Vision has found for us. Crowds in London streets 75 years ago this week, marking the end of the war in Europe on VE Day.